Welcome to the Day One Podcast Extra. Peter Wallace here with Ed Hall, who is Vice President for Institutional Advancement at Virginia Theological Seminary in Alexandria, Virginia. Ed has held that position since 2002, and prior to that, served on the Board of Trustees of the seminary. Before that, had a career on Capitol Hill. Ed, welcome.
Thank you, Peter. It's a pleasure to be here.
Tell us about your work on Capitol Hill. What did you do?
I served for a number of years as staff director to the Senate Foreign Relations Committee.
So that's quite a shift from Capitol Hill to Seminary Hill, as you put it.
A significant shift from Capitol Hill to Seminary Hill, but a fantastic one, and one that every day renews my commitment to the young people that are coming to our seminary and to other seminaries to go out and serve the church.
Virginia Theological Seminary is the largest accredited Episcopal seminary. Introduce us, if you will, to the school.
It is the largest. It was established in 1823 by a few very dedicated individuals, including a Francis Scott Key, in Alexandria, Virginia. At that time, it was called the School of Prophets, that became known as Virginia Theological Seminary. And it's very fitting that 100 years later, in 1933, John Eldridge Hines, who we're honoring today, graduated from Virginia Seminary and became one of the church's most prophetic preachers.
And the John Hines Award, which we'll talk about in a moment, focuses on sermons that are prophetic.
Absolutely.
How would you define prophetic in these terms?
It's, I think, best defined in the words, perhaps, of John Hines himself. It was a time when he came back to Virginia Seminary and shared his thoughts with our students and the faculty. And if I might just tell a little story that he told at that time, he was ending his sermon concluding with a favorite story of his. A young relative of Sir Henry Irvin was appointed by Prime Minister Disraeli to be one of the curates at Windsor, the Royal Chapel. One day, the curate found himself in deep distress because, as he said, the unexpected has happened. Everyone else has dropped out, and I have been ordered to preach on Sunday. He was taken by Sir Henry to the Prime Minister for advice and received the following. If you preach 30 minutes, Her Majesty will be bored. If you preach 10 minutes, Her Majesty will be delighted. But my lord, the clergyman protested, what can a preacher possibly say in 10 minutes? That, replied the Prime Minister, will be a matter of complete indifference to Her Majesty.
Oh.
John Hines went on to say, there is no bull market in favor of prophetic preaching in these volatile times. And we are in volatile times today. The royal stance of boredom or indifference has many more emulators than do the practitioners of the art of prophetic preaching. Yet the real imperatives of this world's ominous presence are, and will remain, justice, love, and authentic selfhood. Welcome or not, beneficiaries of the Judeo-Christian tradition are bound to testify concerning them or forfeit their claim to authenticity. I think that goes to the heart of what we talk about in terms of prophetic preaching, preaching to the challenges in our time based on the overriding importance of justice and love in our lives.
Tell us a little bit more about John Hines. As you said, he graduated from Virginia Seminary in 1933. He served as presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church from 1965 until 74. Why was he such a shining light in the church? His work is still shining today.
Well, a lot of it goes back both to the character of the man and the times when he served as presiding bishop. That was a very tumultuous time. I think 12 years he served as presiding bishop in the 60s and 70s. And he was a very compassionate man, a powerful preacher, and his commitment to social justice, particularly civil rights, stood out during that particular time. And the challenges of the time resulted in the Episcopal Church being fortunate to have a leader that stood up and met those challenges on behalf of the church. A lot of criticism, as I understand it, of John Hines during his career. He had a heartfelt commitment to the social gospel, and his commitment to preaching not ourselves but Jesus Christ the Lord sustained him, he often said, through the challenging and painful years of his tenure as presiding bishop. There were many dissenters at that time who claimed that John Hines had communistic aims or criticized him for other reasons because they either opposed where he was going or perhaps they were scared and didn't know where his prophetic voice and leadership of the church would lead. He quoted the prophet Ezekiel saying, and I quote, "Let us not dissipate our energies by fighting among ourselves when the real enemy is at the door. For by his grace, we are the Lord's own watchmen." Extraordinary man. I have many friends that know him well. I wish I had.
And it seems as though his message and his emphasis is needed more now than ever. And I think that's the purpose for this award, is that not to recognize preachers who are actually following in those footsteps?
Absolutely right. He died in 1997. In 1998, Virginia Seminary established this award through the hard work of one of my predecessors, Bob Birch, who at that time was the director of development at the seminary, and the encouragement of his son, Steve Hines, who serves on the board, and a number of others who were principal in encouraging the seminary to establish this award. Preaching is so important to our church, and it's a form of leadership. I won't call it rhetorical leadership. It's a way I think is critically important in all life, whether it's in the field that I came from in terms of public policy and Capitol Hill. Our leaders need to be articulate, and they also need to speak in that prophetic voice. And we're looking for many more John Hineses to come along.
And you've already brought us the most recent winners of the John Hines Award to day one in the past few years. We've had Jim Nutter and Bill Danaher, and now this year, Patty Davis and William Blake Ryder, who will be preaching on our program. Can anyone submit a sermon? How does the process work?
The process works in terms of a sermon being preached to an Episcopal congregation, and this is part of not being exclusive, but trying to encourage prophetic preaching within the Episcopal Church. And so any bishop, priest, deacon, or layperson, it doesn't have to be an ordained person, can submit a sermon. And in fact, one of the first winners, or recipients is the better phrase, of this award at the very beginning of the year 2000 was a layperson who was active, I believe, in the Diocese of California, Los Angeles, came later to seminary and is now ordained. But when he preached and received that award, he was, I think, very actively involved in youth ministry.
I'm sure people could find more information about the seminary and about the award at the website
of
the seminary.
As they say, www.vds.edu. And it's a rich website, one that we have made significant progress in improving, but it has information on there like the sermons that we're referring to, and it's focus is to inform people what Virginia Seminary is doing in the church today.
Well, let me ask you a little bit more about that. Are there specific programs or emphases that the seminary is known for?
Our primary purpose since 1823 has been to educate those leaders that will go out and become ordained and preach in the pulpits of our church. That's the Master of Divinity program. And but as time has gone by, the programs at Virginia Seminary have expanded significantly. We're now reaching out and providing programs for ordained and lay leaders mm-hmm. throughout the church, ranging from the Master of Divinity program, the Doctor of Ministry. We just established a new Doctor of Ministry in Educational Leadership in collaboration with the National Association of Episcopal Schools, focusing on heads of schools, chaplains, in that aspect of the Episcopal Church that's growing the fastest, the young men and women that are in the up through high school. We have many programs in the Washington, D.C. area. We have an evening school of theology. Over 200 people come to that program on an annual basis. We have a range of programs through a very unique Center for the Ministry of Teaching that is focusing on assisting those that are teaching religion, theology in parish churches and around the country. It's an extraordinary resource. We offer also a Master of Arts in Christian Education and a Master of Arts in Christian Education with an emphasis on youth leadership. And we do that with Canuga conferences down in Hendersonville, North Carolina, trying to bring more and more young people into serving our church in different ways. And incidentally, we've just began our August term with new students coming in for the Master of Divinity and other programs. And for the fourth year in a row now, 40% of the incoming class are men and women in their 20s. And having served on the Board of Trustees some 8-9 years ago, when the age of students coming in to all seminaries mm-hmm. was more in the 40s, this is a remarkable change that will be really good for the church looking ahead. Mm-hmm. So younger people are coming in to be ordained, but also many younger people are coming in to establish a ministry themselves in youth ministry without being ordained.
Well, Ed Hall, we've enjoyed talking with you today and learning more about Virginia Seminary and John Hines and the award program. I wonder if you'd close us with a prayer of John Hines.
I'd be glad to. This is a prayer that I understand was a favorite of John Hines, and I quote, "O God, grant us a right discernment between that which comes first in our faith and that which follows after. And when we would make much of that which we cannot matter to thee, recall us to the heart of our Christian profession, which is Jesus Christ."
Amen.
Amen.